You're listening to Girls Gone Wad. This is Joy.
And this is Claire.
Episode 30, everyone. Yay. Do you remember when you turned 30? No, wait, you haven't turned 30.
Oh, wait, I'm 26. Awkward.
I really enjoyed turning 30.
Yeah, what did you do?
Our podcast is 30. I think I went to an amusement park. I think I went to Lakeside. You know that?
Oh, yeah, that like old school. Super ghetto amusement
park. Yeah, it's really ghetto, and the rides are really creaky and like made out of wood.
Yeah, so ghetto.
It was really scary.
I've never gone in there, and every summer we lived here now for 3 summers, and we always drive by and we're like, oh, we gotta go there. And then every single year without fail, you know, like October rolls around
somebody
and like
dies.
That like the you know, the marquee is like, see you next season. We're like, oh, missed it.
Whoopsie.
Again.
Well, we live so close to it.
I know. We just drive by all the time. But it's like the sketchiest amusement park ever. One time, Lindsay Guzman was there when she was a kid.
Yeah.
And she was on like the kiddie roller coaster. And the car came off the tracks. And she had to wear a neck brace for like a month.
What?
Yeah. And they like tried to give her family like free admission. They were like, we're sorry. You got free admission.
Free admission.
Like,
yeah.
No, we're not like, coming back. Right. It's ghetto. And like in the winter you drive by and you're like, oh my gosh, this is where serial killers live.
That I know, it's so scary. Yeah. And the cops always hang out there. Yeah. And I'm like, they're probably just warding up the serial killers.
Seriously, murderers live there.
There's one called the Wild Chipmunk.
Yeah, and that's one that Lindsay fell off of.
Really? It's so scary. Literally the cars are like as big as my hand.
Yeah.
And you're just like squished into this tiny car that's on these teeny tiny rails. You turn a corner, I swear I could see that happening. Like,
yeah.
She fell off?
Yeah. She said the car, like, I don't know if it was, like, on a... Yeah.
Really high.
I know, like, but it's, like, the kiddie roller coaster.
The kiddie version of that? I don't know. Anyway, that's what I did on my 30th birthday.
So if you live in Denver, hopefully you understand what I'm talking about. The scariest amusement park ever.
Oh, Lakeside. Lakeside Amusement Park. It's pretty good. It's full of history. Full of history.
Is it Lakeside or Lakeshore?
Lakeside.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, well, so tonight we're going to answer some questions.
We are going to answer some questions. How was your week, though?
Yeah.
I just want to check in with you. We've had quite a week already.
It's been a long week already. It's already Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a couple hard workouts this week.
Yeah.
Yesterday was so hard. I beat you in double unders.
I knew. I was waiting. I was like, how many double unders?
I got 452.
That's good.
I was excited. But then so the workout yesterday was, we started off with 5 rounds of a 300 meter row with a 1:30 break in between.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was 8 minute AMRAP double unders with like a little break in between. It wasn't a timed break, but just like however long it takes you to move over to your double unders. And then it was a little wad where it was like 10 wall balls, 1 shuttle run, where each shuttle run was, I think, what, 30 feet or something. Mm-hmm. Like a short little shuttle run.
Yeah.
And then so 10 wall balls, 1 shuttle run, 9 wall balls, 1 shuttle run. All the way down to 1 wall ball, 1 shuttle run. It was so hard.
It was hard.
It was a lot harder than I thought it.
We all got really woozy the Tuesday morning 5:30 a.m. class. We got woozy. Like, I, for whatever reason, just starting off, I don't know, like the empty stomach thing. I'm still trying to balance out what to eat that early.
Yeah.
And we did the rows, and then one of the guys in class got really sick during the double unders. Like, he just turned, like, you know when people get, like, pale and green? Like, he literally was turning green.
Oh, my gosh.
It was Matt Crowley.
Oh, Matt Crowley.
I love Matt Crowley so much. So much. He's one of those people that has, like, the best Facebook posts. Like, I just live to read his Facebook posts. They're so funny.
Fair.
Anyway.
He has 2 little kids.
Yeah, because he has 2 little kids, and he always posts the funniest thing about his kids, which do not involve... when your kid finally goes poop on the potty, which drives me crazy. And maybe it's,
but his things are more like,
today
my toddler started crying because I backed into the driveway instead of pulled in. Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah. Or like he said, one of the recent ones about the holidays was, I finally witnessed the stages of grief. No, one of the ways to witness the stages of grief is to take down your Christmas decorations and to take down the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
And then he wrote like,
right.
Oh my gosh. Like, it was so funny. Anyway. So he got really ill and we were all just kind of like, oh, I think it just required really so hard. Much push and
the whole time
and sprint effort.
Well, cause like the rowing was just like 1.5 minutes is just enough time to sort of get the feeling back in your legs, but not enough time to act. So last week we did a similar, interval set, but it was a 2-minute rest. And that was made a huge difference. If he goes down to 1 minute next week, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And then the double unders, were just hard because you sort of felt like you needed to, like, be moving. I mean, 8 minutes is a long time to be doing double unders. And then the wall balls, I just felt like the... I almost thought that the doing, like, the first part of the wad where you had more wall balls was easier. Because then by the time you got down to, like, the 3-2-1 wall balls, it was just a shuttle run.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You do, like, one wall ball and go do the shuttle run again.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like it. I mean, I liked it, but it was just really hard to keep going because it was, like, a constant sprint effort.
Yeah.
And the double unders, I just decided to do it like a flight simulator.
Yeah.
So I was like, I just need to build in breaks for 8 minutes. So I just tried to do it that way.
I think I did the first 2 minutes. It was 8 minutes. So I did the first, 3 minutes. I just did sets of 50.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did another 3 minutes at sets of 30, and then the last 2 minutes I did sets of 15, sets of 20. So mm-hmm. I would give myself 20 seconds to do 20 double unders, and then just however much time I had left in that 20 seconds I would rest.
Yeah.
Oh, it was really hard though.
Yeah.
And as we're like getting set up for the wall balls, Coach Mateo was like asking us our times or our double under totals. I said 452, and everyone, was like, made it. Oh, I hit the crate. Sorry if you guys heard that. Everyone was like, oh, made a big deal about me getting 452. And I was like, yeah, I may have won the double unders, but I lost the war. Like, now we have to do wall balls. And what's his name? David. What's his last name? Anyway, the tall, blonde David. Anyway, he goes, my epitaph is going to say she won the double unders, but she lost the war. And he's like, that's right. Mine's going to say he went all out on the row.
It's like... all out on the road.
Totally how I feel. I was really hard.
Yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, so then like today I've been really hungry, which I feel like is always a good indicator of how hard your workout was the night before. Yeah. And did you go today?
Mm-mm, no.
No, I didn't either. Nope. It's death by strict press.
Death by strict press. That's it?
And then,
I'm not saying like that's it, but that's what we did the whole hour?
No, the beginning was like that, like the Blackburn series and all like that. Like,
what's the Blackburn series?
It's like a shoulder mobility thing.
Oh, okay. And then it was programmed last week, and Coach Mike's like, what does that mean? No, we got there. He's like, what does that mean? So like Coach Mike, okay, you guys, so TJ will program everything.
Right.
And then Coach Mike will walk in the next morning, he'll read it on his phone, and he'll be like, what is this? Like, some of it, he doesn't know what it means. Like, just because it's like, it'll just be like really short spurts of like,
right.
And it's hard to interpret sometimes. So we, like the AM class, always kind of, sometimes we'll get like the shaft because we're like, well, what is it? Let's just make it up.
What do you think it means?
What do you think it means?
Yeah. It's
and like we tried shoulder. To Google it, and there's nothing about it. Nothing. Funny. There's nothing. We tried to, I was like on my phone. There's nothing about it.
Yeah, so apparently it's like a shoulder mobility thing. And then, so like with that, he's been doing like, so then it's like max effort, kipping pull-ups, max effort, ring rows, max effort, ring dips. And then it was, I didn't do it either, but it was death by strict press and burpees. So every minute was 5 strict press, and it started at 5 burpees, and every minute you went up 1 burpee.
Ugh.
But strict press is so hard because like at least like with wall balls or thrusters or something like that, like death by wall balls is awful. But the thing about wall balls is like it's so mental. You know, it's like getting those.
I don't know.
Okay, much more so I think than strict press.
Okay.
Because like when you fail at strict press, it's just like, well. It's like you could want it.
That's true.
No matter how much you want it, like that bar is not going like, anywhere. You get like in front of your nose and you're just like, my arms don't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Like the arms start shaking and then it just like goes.
Right. Boop. Whereas like with wall balls, like usually, especially in like a death by wall ball scenario, you know, where you're not linking like 100 wall balls at a time, like you usually can do one more.
Right.
Whereas like with strict press, like if you're done, you're just done.
Yeah.
It's just the end of your day. Anyway. So.
Okay. So death by 5 strict press, I'm reading it. On an empty bar. So you would literally just do it until you... Okay. Okay. Interesting. Interesting technique. These are all very open focused.
Yes. Very open focused. And tomorrow is back squats and clean and jerks. I'm going to that one.
I'm
going
to go tomorrow morning, 5:30 a.m.
We
turn nervous night. About that. Back squats and what?
Clean and jerk.
Clean and jerk.
Yep. I don't know what the actual WOD is though. No, anyway.
I haven't looked yet.
Yeah, the open's coming up. Have you signed up yet?
I did, yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
I signed up last week.
I need to do that. For some reason, every time I go on, I forget that it costs money.
Yeah.
And then I'm like not with, you know, it's like I'm on my phone or something. I'm like, oh, right. I'm going to sign up for the open. And then I'm like, oh, that's right. Do I have to pay?
Yeah.
And I just haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah.
So I know we talked about this a little bit last week, but we had a couple questions today about like, what do you, let's see, what was one of them? Like, are you thoughts on the up on the open? How do we plan on approaching the open workouts? Do you go all out or try to pace yourselves? I mean, I'm not in it to win it here in the open at all. I think I just approach the open just like I would any sort of like similar WOD. Yeah. And the other thing that is kind of fun about the open is that, you know, they get announced, whatever it is, like Wednesday or Thursday. And then typically by literally like that next morning, there are multiple blog posts and videos out about like strategies for the workout.
Right. Which I really liked. Yeah. I really liked. That was super helpful last year.
So I would say if this is your first open, like definitely keep your eyes out for those. Yes. Because it's stuff that like you wouldn't really think about, you know, like kind of this beta where it's like, well, you know, it's like, for example, what was it that we did the other day that was, oh, the 10 rounds for time, 10 squats, 10 burpees. And Kate was in the WOD after me and I, you know, we were talking about it and I was like, you know, you just can't break during the squats. Like you have to just, you have to link all the squats and otherwise that's where you lose your time. And just like that sort of information.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like you wouldn't know it until unless you had already done the WOD. But exactly. Once you hear it, you're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't think about it.
But definitely the pacing piece for sure.
And oh, I think, totally. Yeah.
Because I remember watching, I mean, granted, it was like Annie.
Right.
But I watched her do one of the workouts. And I was like, oh, it's cool to see how she paces it and how she puts it all together. I would have never thought of it that way. And like just the littlest things can make a huge difference when you're going through it.
Yeah, totally. So I would definitely pay attention to that stuff. Highly
recommend doing that for sure.
And let's see. There was another question about the open.
But to be honest though, in terms of like how you push yourself, I think there's, I don't know. If you are signed up for the open, there's just an extra element of pushing yourself harder for those workouts. And I know we talked about it a couple episodes ago that even if we don't, if we were not going to sign up for the open, our gym is doing the open workout on Fridays anyway for everyone to do it. I just know myself, like actually being signed up for something makes me take it much more serious. So mentally, I think I get in a place where I just want to do my best and I just like kick my own butt.
Yeah, I think that end up with like, you end up pushing harder than you think just because you're way in like almost like harder. A competition headspace.
I'm in a competition headspace and I do like to see where I stand, even though it's not fabulous, but it's just a score to see where you stack up. But I just think there's something cool about that. It's like the one time of the year where everyone can kind of come together and look at each other's scores. Like we're all on this leaderboard together. And I think that's kind of cool.
Well, then that being said, we had somebody who had a question that said, what about people who want to be regional or games athletes but clearly will never make it? That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
It says, not because they are not dedicated, but because the games have gotten harder and harder every year. Like 3 years ago, an average athlete might have had a shot at regionals. Now, maybe not so much. I'm all about having goals, but they need to be ones that are achievable. Keep in mind, I'm not saying that people shouldn't do the open. I say go for it. It's just that I hear people say they want to make it to regionals and are very disappointed when they don't even come close. I think that that's kind of just like your own personal awareness and like kind of why you're in CrossFit. I think that I don't know that I really know anybody who has been doing CrossFit for more than a year and doesn't have a realistic view of where they stand. You know, it's like I could understand if you had just started CrossFit, maybe you came from another sport.
Yeah.
And then you would be surprised like how far you were from actually qualifying for regionals. But I think that if you've been doing it for any length of time, you realize like those, you know, the competitive CrossFit athletes, I mean, literally it's their full-time job.
Yeah.
Like they're professional athletes. Like it's like, you know, it would be like starting, you know, taking up jogging and being surprised you didn't qualify for the Olympic marathon.
Exactly. And that's the thing is I think CrossFit, the beautiful thing about CrossFit is that it's excuse me, choked. It's accessible to everyone.
Yeah.
And like you said last episode, that when we go to the CrossFit Games, where else can you actually be Can I talk tonight?
Yeah.
Witnessing a sport that you actually participate in yourself.
Yeah.
Like the majority of people who are watching also do it.
Right. It's so like I feel like they're a convention.
Yes. So there's the element that it's possible for anyone to go.
Right.
Like in a way, I think that's almost like tricks our minds that like, well, anyone could make it. Cause I bet you the people that are competing haven't been doing it their whole lives.
No.
So I could probably do it too. I mean, like CrossFit's so new in that way that I could see where there's that glimmer of like, I could do it as well.
Well, and like, so, yeah, Brandon was talking about that. He said, you know, like at the beginning of every open season, he kind of has this is only our second or third one. He kind of has this feeling of like, you know, I wonder what it would take for me to make it to regionals. And then he, you know, does the first open workout and is like, nope.
Yeah.
You know, realizes that like, and I mean, in our gym we don't have any competitive athletes at our gym really.
Yeah.
Like we have some people, you know, like if they wanted to make it a priority, I'm sure they could get to that level. But like, we are not.
No.
Our gym is not focused on that.
No.
And so, so you have to think like, even in terms of the members of our gym, you would have to be coming in way ahead of everyone every mm-hmm. time
yeah.
to even be, you know, consider. Like, I remember there were a couple guys or a guy and a girl who used to go to our gym who moved gyms and joined a team
mm-hmm.
who went to regionals last year. And I think their team came in like 7th maybe or 11th, like wasn't even close to the top three.
Okay.
And these two are, I mean, like I would do odds with them and I'd be like, there's no way. Like they're just competing on another level than I am.
Right.
And yet they are not even at regionals as an individual, but on a team. And I don't know. Anyway.
I just think in terms of what she's saying about, you know, how do you, I don't know if it's like either witnessing someone with an unrealistic goal.
Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of judging other people's goals. So, I mean, I get it if there's, I think people do need to say, you know, unless I really want to put 100%, quit my job and just do CrossFit 24/7, I'm probably not going to go to regionals or advanced anymore. But if people really want to have that dream and maybe it is kind of silly and you're looking at them, like, I don't care. Who cares? Go for it.
And I think that it can become an issue only when it is like they become disappointed and then, you know, you kind of have to like kind of coach them through that a little bit.
Sure.
And, you know, but I think that I really do think that once people have been doing CrossFit long enough and you kind of also, I think everybody kind of has this moment in CrossFit where they have to kind of just come to terms with that, the fact that like it is what you make it. And mm-hmm. if you have the resources to make it your full-time job, then you can be a professional athlete.
Yeah.
But if you don't have that, and most people don't, then like you kind of just have to take it for what it is.
Right. I mean, if they want feedback and say, you know, what is it going to take for me to get to this point? And you say, you should probably quit your job and do this full-time. And they say no, then say, well, then...
I do agree, though, that it's gotten more competitive, but I mean, I think that's the nature of...
Oh, for sure it has,
That's just kind of, you know, if you look back...
Grown.
Well, it was like last year at the games, they had the 2000... What do they call it? The 2007 WOD? Uh-huh. I forget what it was called. I think it was just called 2007, where they did one of the... excuse me. They did one of the workouts that they had in like the 2007 quote unquote CrossFit games, which were just, you know, basically like a day long competition out at the ranch in California.
Yeah.
And I think it was that none of the competitors, not a single person, got finished in more time than the fastest time in 2007.
Wow.
So the fastest time in 2007 would have been the slowest time in 2013.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, they have, the weights just keep getting heavier and heavier, and the, you know, everything just keeps getting crazier and crazier. Anyway, so that's kind of how, I don't know. I'm still, like, kind of on the fence about the open. Like, I'm going to do it, but I'm just kind of, like, it's not, like, last year I think I was a lot more excited about it, and this year, like, I'm excited to have those days on Fridays.
Yeah.
For the open, but, like, the open competition itself, I'm just, like, whatever. I'm really not very... motivated by it.
I don't know. I just say use it as a personal goal, something like you would sign up to do a marathon and do the best that you can.
Right.
Like I think Kelsey wrote, most people I know are just doing the open for fun, but others seem like they are taking it way too seriously considering their level relative to the top CrossFitters. Honestly, these comments, like I get what they're saying, but it also kind of makes me a little tiffed.
By the way, guys, Joy is kind of riled up tonight.
I am riled up. Claire just heard me talking before.
I got here, she was like going off about
something. I was going off about some stuff.
So Joy is...
I'm a little miffed. No, tiffed. And so I just think it just feels like judgment. And I just feel like if people are going to do something and they're going to take it seriously, so what? So what? Like, just do the best you can. Have fun with it. And if someone else is like having this ego moment where they're like, I'm going to go to regionals and I'm going to make this happen, like, that's fine too. I mean, let them have their own journey.
Yeah.
We're being healthy and we're doing something that's difficult. Let's all support one another. that's all I'm going to say about that.
I can see where she's coming from. I think that it can be like, sometimes you see somebody who's like, you know, who you're as good at, you know, who you're like pacing at the gym usually. And then they're coming in to the open being super, super serious. And sometimes you kind of want to just be like, dude, like, this is not, this is not worth it to take it that seriously.
Yeah. But I come from the perspective of, like, I take it seriously because I think it's fun to be competitive with myself.
Yeah.
So, like, who cares if they're going to be taking it seriously? That's where I come from. Like,
that's fair.
If they take it seriously, big whoop.
okay, this is a funny question.
Unless they start, like, I don't know.
Going crazy. What do you do if you have to pee in the middle of a workout? I never know if I should leave to go to the bathroom or hold it to the end. That's never happened to me.
It's never happened to me. That's happened to me when I teach spin classes. I have to sit on the freaking bike for an hour, and I'm like, oh, crap, like 10 minutes in, but never during a WOD.
I feel like I always just pee right before
nervous
the WOD.
Nervous pee before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the answer.
That would be my
even
answer.
If
make
have
sure
to
you
run.
Pee right before, and then that way you know that even if you feel like you have to pee in the middle of the WOD, it's just a false alarm.
False alarm. Normally false alarm.
Yes. let's see here.
That's funny.
Working on your own level and not comparing yourself to others. This is so hard for me because this is from Jess Kenton. This is so hard for me because I'm competitive and apparently I think I should be good at everything.
Okay.
You want to talk about this one?
Claire just, I was about to be like, I can relate. And Claire just gave me this look like, and go.
And this is your life.
I don't even know where to start. Competitor. Apparently, I think I should be good at everything. Haha. Or the humbling nature of CrossFit. So, I don't know. I think.
We've talked about this a little bit.
We have talked about this a little bit. But I think comparing yourself to others, I think, is a journey. I think it depends. I'm just going to speak from my own experience. When I started CrossFit, I feel like I was more competitive at the beginning because I really, it was so
new.
With
other people.
With other people. Mm-hmm. It was so new. It was something that I kind of, when I started doing it at my work with like the group of people I work out with at my job, that's kind of how I got into CrossFit. I was always focused on beating the boys. Like, that was my main goal. And that's kind of what I held as my badge of honor, was I always beat the boys. And so I kind of went into the CrossFit gym with that same competitive nature that I'm like, I gotta beat the boys. I gotta beat everyone. I gotta be the best
prove
at
yourself.
It. Yeah. And that was just like my mindset. And then when I learned the culture of CrossFit and how it, you know, it's fine if it serves you in a way that helps you get through your workout, but for me, it was just something I held on to because it was a stupid mantra I told myself from the beginning. So once I started realizing, I'm like, this is really dumb to like get down on myself for not getting the best score today, or even like last year in the open. Like, I really kind of focused so much on like, do the best you can do and try to be in like, I don't know, the top quarter, whatever.
Yeah.
But then I realized it was just letting me down.
Right.
And that just wasn't serving me. So then I was like,
right.
just
There's
have fun.
There's a fine line between like being, between motivating yourself and like giving yourself unrealistic expectations. And I think that's also like what those couple comments about the open were, where it's like, you know, there's a fine line between doing it in a way that is healthy and motivates you, and doing it in a way that that is basically setting you up for failure.
Right. Right. Exactly. And so that's kind of the mentality that I was in from the get-go. And then I quickly realized that I was constantly feeling disappointed, and I didn't want that anymore. So I'm like, I don't know. So I feel like once I got more into the culture of CrossFit, got more comfortable at my gym with everyone that I work out with, and realized that I just wanted to do a good job and be healthy and not just like go all out 24/7 with every single workout I did, which I do. Like, I work hard, but it was more or less like, I'm going to do this at a pace that feels good for me.
Yeah.
So I would literally kill myself almost every workout just to
literally get, like, kill yourself.
Literally kill myself.
I feel like I was less in a place of like having those high expectations, but I still definitely, when I first started CrossFit, felt really like disappointed that I didn't do better.
Yeah.
And I think it is just kind of a matter of time, but I also think that something I would tell Jess is that, you know, you kind of just need to be okay with making it your own.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, it's like we were just talking about the Opens, you know, the games athlete. It's like, unless you're Sam Briggs or Rich Froning, there will literally always be someone who's better than you.
Yes.
And even then, you know, they didn't come in first in every single workout.
Yes.
And, you know, you kind of have to just realize that it's not about other people. It's just about what you want to do and like your goals and what, and you know, and it, and your goals, you know, not to, you were just saying like, let your goals be your own goals, but your goals should not be to beat other people.
Mm-hmm.
It should be personal. You know, like, right. You need to make it.
Well, like, that's what I came around to, because mm-hmm. when I was realizing it wasn't serving me in a positive way, because my goal shouldn't be to beat other people. My goal should be to support everyone. So that's what shifted for me. It was like the culture of, I felt like I was distancing, and this is just something that's very important to me, is like to be supportive of everyone at my gym. And I don't know if everyone's this way. I would hope they are, but I realized that what was setting me back was that mentally I was like in the space of, I just wanted to be the best. I just wanted to do the best. I wanted to be known as the best or whatever, like all the highest scores of every day. And then I caught myself thinking, like, I'm not really celebrating everyone's successes. I'm only focused on my own, and how selfish that was. And it just felt selfish, and it felt self-centered. And then it was like stupid and no longer about the workout and about what we could do to support one another. And I would cheer for everybody, don't get me wrong, but then like when someone beat me, I would just let it bother me all day.
Yeah.
I would let it bother me. Like, that is ridiculous. And that has so much to do with my own, I'm just me and my like little self-awareness. I'm like, that has to do with my little ego work of, that's just not a person I want to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to be someone like that. I want to be someone who's super, super athletic and healthy, but has goals that are for just me as a person. And not to be like, I got to beat everyone else.
Totally.
So then when someone else does beat me, I'm like, awesome, that's great. Wonderful, good job.
I agree. I think that it's just kind of a matter of like, it is a journey too. Like, you know, you can't just, it's just like anything in CrossFit, you know, you can't just wake up one morning and decide like, I'm not going to let this bother me anymore.
Right.
Because it, you know, even though you want to make that declaration, it still is a process. But, all right. So this one's from Tiffany. I wish I knew how to pronounce her last name, but she writes this a lot. Tiffany S. How about working out with your partner or friend when they aren't at your capacity or they are more fit than you? My hubby is pretty new and has some serious mobility issues, but he volunteered to be my partner for a WOD once. I was like, oh, really? but it was still fun. He doesn't do well with me pushing him, so that was hard. How do you make your competitive nature or desire to finish take a back seat? I would say the first thing is that there are kind of two different issues here. The first one that I would say is that working out with your significant other...
I was going to say, that's one issue.
Can be... Like, even if you guys are a perfect match in terms of your ability, it can be hard based on your communication level. And, like, I mean, I know you and Scott and I work out together. Brandon and I work out together, but we rarely are partners.
Yeah.
And, I mean, even, like, there are people at the gym who I just know, like, I don't communicate with you as well. And so, like, that is a totally separate issue. You know, like, I think that regardless of the skill level, you need to be with someone who you communicate with well. Otherwise, it's going to be a terrible experience for both of you.
Right.
But outside of that, I think that I always like kind of actually being put with people who are either better than me or slower than me.
Yeah.
And because it kind of gives me an opportunity to work on something different. Whereas, like, you know, if I'm with someone who's faster than I am, it gives me an opportunity to try to push myself a little bit more and go a little bit faster than I'm comfortable with. And if I'm with someone who's slower than I am, then it gives me an opportunity either to maybe go a little bit heavier than I usually would go mm-hmm. because I know I'm going to have extra time, or to work on something, you know, maybe do something a little bit harder than I normally would do, or simply to just gives me an opportunity to kind of sit back and, like, you know, we were just answering Jess's question about not being too competitive, like, to just, like, almost as an exercise of just, like, being okay with just right. having fun and enjoying the process.
Right, right. Because how many times do we have fun and enjoy the process at, like, a slower level in right. CrossFit?
And that's actually kind of why I love Team WODS, is because, like, when we do the partner WODS on Saturdays, you know, I've been with everything from Thor, who carried me for a mile and a half, literally, or, you know, to, you know, a lot of other folks who I'll do something that's faster than them, and then they'll go come over and do the next move faster than me, and we kind of just trade off. Or I've been with people, you know, on the team WOD, it's their very first WOD they've done since Elements class. Like, I remember Christy, mm-hmm. I was her partner on her very first WOD ever.
Nuh-uh.
And it was a partner carry. I felt so bad
because
I was
Christy?
Super sweaty. Yeah. I was, like, the sweatiest person in the world, and she had a partner carry me, and I was like, I'm disgusting. It was, like, 100 degrees out.
Oh.
Anyway, so it was just, but I think, like.
Did you shower at all the next day?
The next day, probably. Hopefully, I think I did probably, I hopefully did the day before. But anyway, it just is, like, I think that it, instead of viewing it as, like, I'm going to finish last or I'm going slower, I think you can, should just look at it as, like, this is an opportunity for me to appreciate the experience.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
To, you know, I don't know about you guys, like, we don't even write down our scores for team WODS usually.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, because it's not important, like, that's not the point. You know, it's there for community building, it's there for team building, it's there for, you know, and the other thing that you can do always, at least, you know, I think is 90% of the time an option, is if your team member is really struggling, you know, you can say, okay, I'm going to take 5 of your reps. You know, and, like, give yourself kind of a boost that way. But, like, yeah. at the end of the day, I think it's more important just to be,
yeah,
kind of the moral of all of these stories is, like, it's just kind of more important just to.
It's more important to think of others and support one another.
And it's also just kind of more important, like, to just be there for what it is and be exactly. there for the process as opposed exactly. to, like, being worried all the time about yeah. whether or not you're going the fastest.
Yeah. But it's hard because CrossFit is that culture too, mm-hmm. you know, CrossFit is that competitive culture. So I think it probably has a lot to do with how the gym is set up as well. I don't know
yeah.
how the cultures are in every single gym, but yeah, it's interesting.
But I definitely would say the first part is important. Like, don't work out with your husband if he doesn't take your feedback well, because
yeah.
that's
yeah.
going to just create
For
problems
sure.
everywhere.
For sure. That's a whole yeah. other dynamic. So let's flesh those two out.
Yeah. Let's see. We have one from Cassie. She says, Claire, I'd love to hear what you think about Eat to Perform. Have you given it another go? No, I have not, is the short answer. I signed up for Eat to Perform nope. in, like, November, and I kind of tried to get into it and decided, like, you know, right around the holidays and the wedding was not a good time. And I had been hoping to get into it with the new year. And to be honest with you, are you familiar with Eat to Perform?
No, have we talked about this before?
Yeah.
And you sign up online or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, I signed okay, up online, yeah. and it's yeah. just, like, really confusing.
Yeah, I remember you saying it was really tough to navigate.
Yeah,
like,
it's
the
just
website.
Like, yeah, it, like, somebody needs, they just need some, a marketing person to go in there and say, here's, they have this ebook.
They need to hire you, really.
Seriously. Like, they have this ebook, and the ebook doesn't, I mean, it sort of explains the general idea of what you're trying to do, but it doesn't give you any action steps.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, they have this forum where you can go on and you like calculate your, like, what your macros are supposed to be. And they, you know, you can ask them questions, but it's like the questions that you ask them, you can't really say, like, okay, what do I do now?
Oh, okay.
You know, the questions are supposed to be kind of more specific. So it's like, I just don't even, it basically, like, if you aren't used to that kind of eating, it gives you nowhere to start. They assume that you already know how to eat in macros.
Yeah,
and if
yeah.
you don't, then you're just like, what, how do I even, like.
Yeah, so it's not very informative.
Right, it's just not beginner friendly.
Yeah.
And so I have not had an easy time with it at all. And I'm just like, you know what, this is ridiculous. But we are, hopefully going to start, not hopefully, we are going to start Zone again. We were going to start it this month, and then just hasn't happened. Brandon got sick and blah, blah, blah. Life.
Life happened.
But I love Zone, and I really, you know, like, there's that first, like, probably 2-week adjustment period or 10-day even adjustment period where you have to get used to measuring all your food. But once you get used to it, it just becomes second nature, and it's so great.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like, I don't know. Personally, we just, like, both of us had awesome results with it, not only physically, but, like, mentally and in our wads. I loved it. So we're going to get back on that.
Yeah. It makes me sweat thinking about it.
I know. It definitely does have, the like, if you have obsessive tendencies. And not, I totally do, though, is a thing.
Yeah.
And but I think I have it, like, just enough where I can get hooked on it, but not so much that it becomes, like, an obsessive thing for me.
Yeah.
But we, yeah, I loved it. And I've been trying to eat a lot more lately. I'm, like, obsessed with oatmeal right now. I can't even tell you how much oatmeal I've eaten this week. It's unbelievable.
I love oatmeal.
It's so good.
What kind of oatmeal are you eating?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. The stuff from Sunflower or Sprouts or whatever.
Yeah.
It's maple brown sugar.
Can I ask you a question? What do you trace when you... Oh. Claire always traces with her finger on the floor.
I write what I'm saying.
And I always want to know what she's tracing.
Yeah,
she
I
just,
do that.
Like, talks and she traces. I like do. She's... Like, she's writing cursive.
And I am. I'm writing what I'm saying.
You're right. Really?
Yeah, not every word. But, like, I just wrote, like, when you asked me where I was, I wrote Sprouts. Yeah.
I've always been like, what is she writing on the floor?
I forget that I do that, but yeah, I do. I, like I'll write your name sometimes. Oh, okay. Like, I just wrote Joy.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know.
What does that do for you?
I don't know. Just gives me something to do with my hands, I guess. When I was younger, I would type.
Oh.
Like, I would, and then oh I, my gosh. Sometimes I type, and then sometimes, like, if I'm somewhere where I feel like I need to have, like, a tick,
yeah,
but I can't do it, I'll type with my toes.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
So did, like, you learn how to, no, you didn't learn on a typewriter.
I learned on a,
because I was like, wait, you're really young.
No, I learned on a
typewriter.
Typewriter. I understand. I learned on this thing that was, like, not quite a typewriter, but not quite a computer. It was, like, an electric typewriter, basically, where it, like, looked like a typewriter. It didn't have a monitor. And it looked like a typewriter, but, like, instead of where you would have that scroll, it had, like, this tiny little skinny screen, like, you would have on, like, a keyboard or something. And so you would type, and you would have one line of text.
Oh, that's annoying.
And so you would, like, do these typing, and then you had, like, a textbook, and so you'd have, like, these typing drills.
Yeah.
And you'd have, like, your one line of text. I took a typing class in high school, my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
And I took it as an independent study. So basically all I did was had this book, and I just went home, and, you know, and it was like boat, moat, goat.
Yeah.
And hundreds of pages of this, and I just printed it out and turned it in at the end of the semester. I kid you not, probably like 400 pages.
That's all you had to do is just type?
Yeah.
Words?
Just words.
And then print it out.
And, like, sometimes they were sentences, but it was just like a type. It was literally like a typing class.
Yeah.
Yeah. I took it as an independent study.
Oh, anyway, I don't know why it just made me think of, like, how I learned to type, because it was so funny.
I have typed on a typewriter. My grandparents had a typewriter, and I would always type other. I would write stories, and when I was little, I would write stories on their typewriter.
You remember, like, the whiteout you had to go
over? Oh, yeah. Their typewriter was so fancy. It had, like, a built-in whiteout thing.
Oh.
And so you, like, hit delete, and it would, like, white it out for you.
It was like a computer.
It was. It was really fancy. They had a super fancy typewriter. But yeah.
That's
anyway,
really
but
funny.
Yeah. So when I type, when I write, I'm, like, writing in cursive.
Yeah.
Things I'm saying sometimes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't realize that I even did that. But I do.
So
do
we were
it
talking about
time.
Zone. Sorry, I totally went off track.
That's okay. Us tangent
so
never.
Oatmeal was the
the
topic.
Been big on oatmeal.
Du jour.
But you've been trying to get more dialed in on your diet. Question mark.
Question mark. Why don't you go ahead and write a question mark on the ground right now?
Question mark. I just drew a bubble question mark.
Bubbles. We got some bubbles around it. My diet isn't bad. I just haven't been very intentional about it. Mm. And by that, I mean, not, like, I'll skip meals, or I'll just, like, snack haphazardly throughout the day, which it's fine to snack, but I'll do it in a way that's, like, just crappy stuff. Like, I'm, like, a sucker for chips, and, like,
I love
that
chips.
That just goes rabbit hole.
Yeah, Brandon will bring home a bag of chips. I'll eat the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, that picture of that paleo snack that I posted, I ate the whole bag. Like,
ducks.
So stuff like that, I can't just buy it. Like, that whole bag was gone on the drive. Like, here's the other thing. Like, if I'm, like, in a rush at work, I'll, like, run to get something, and I'll eat it in the car. And I'm not a fan of car eating, but, like, snacks I will. Like, I'll just, like, eat that, like, granola crap in the car. So I'm just trying to be more intentional. In January, February, I don't know about you, just feels so slumpy to me. Yeah, like, it always has been. Like, you know, winter's kind of rolling out, and then spring is like, it's coming.
It's not... Like, it's still very much winter.
Yeah.
But, like, you're not excited about it anymore.
No, because Christmas dead of is winter. Over. Yeah.
Nothing else is happening that's fun.
The excitement.
It's like Valentine's Day, but meh.
The snow angels have been made.
Yeah. Do you guys do things for Valentine's Day usually? Do you on date night?
We do.
Do you?
Yeah. Scott, I'll tell you a story in a second. But yeah. Well, I'll tell you a story right now.
Yeah, probably just go ahead and tell it now.
So, here's how he tricked me to get Ollie shoes, okay? So, the whole thing was, like, because I kept complaining and whining about it. And a lot of it was, like, I just didn't want to spend the money right now. Like, yeah. I just wasn't in a place to drop money on Ollie shoes. But I'm, like, eventually I'll get them. And you heard me last week. I was, like, I'm just not going to buy them. I'll wait. Should I just buy them online? So, I was just, like, him and Han. So, Sunday, he's, like, he did the legwork, and he knew this was going to happen, right? So Claire called it. He was, like, looking around, because I told him they were out at the one I tried last week, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So he does the legwork, and Sunday I get back from teaching spin, and he's like, so I think what we should do today is Park Meadows, which is one of the malls, has the last size 10 in the pink ones, and we should go down there and get them, and that can be your Valentine's Day present. And I was
sneaky.
I'm like, no, maybe. Anyway, so yeah, so that's what, but literally the only size 10
in the region. That's funny.
So that was exciting. And
it is exciting. Yeah, are you excited about them?
Yes. So I tried them on, and the guy at the store was great. He was like, there's no one in the store, because we went early. And then I was, like, actually doing squats, and I was like, I wish I had a bar to, like, practice on. You know?
Can somebody load 180
pounds? Because someone just bring... Yeah. But it was good. And then I haven't tried them out yet. I haven't done a wad
back
yet.
Squats tomorrow. Gotta go.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yay. I am really excited.
I am excited, too.
Like, the final piece of the puzzle with gear.
You saw all the gear.
Yeah. How did your... By the way, the tape.
Oh, I loved it.
Better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Natural Grip sent us some goat tape. They overnighted that stuff to us.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Those guys are awesome.
Check them out. Naturalgrip.com.
And do you know what goat tape is?
No.
It's just athletic tape, but apparently they use a portion of their proceeds to buy goats for, like, families in third world countries. That's why it's called goat tape.
Oh.
Right?
I love that.
Yeah. So they sent us some goat tape to hold the wrist, or to hold the natural grips on, because we had tried wrist wraps and it hadn't really worked. And honestly, when we tried them on the pull-up bar, I had a hard time with them.
Yeah.
But then I tried them lifting the other day, and I loved it. Like, yeah. I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. I might not ever not lift them again.
Nice. And because that's also, really good to know.
On Sunday, I was doing all those cleans, and I tore.
Oh.
And so then I went in to do 3 position snatches on Monday, which, like, are just so hard on your hands.
Yeah.
And I put them on, and I loved it. Yeah, the tape made a big difference. So... I would recommend. Good. It. If you guys are on the fence about natural grips, give them a try. Because they're not a huge investment either. Like, it's not like old shoes or something. Like,
right,
you don't
like them.
It's not the end of the world.
Yeah. So that's to answer the Valentine's Day question is, you know, it's this time of year, Valentine's Day. We usually go out on a date. We're going to be in Maryland
for
Valentine's Day to visit my twin nieces and my nephew. Oh, But yeah, it's like a really funky time of year where I'm just trying to, like, slide out of the holidays. Winter's still here.
Right.
And you're, like, looking forward to spring and the warmer weather, and the snow is, like, kind of bumming you out a little bit. Long days. So I get in this funk where I'm just, like, I don't know. I feel like when the weather starts to warm up, I don't know about you, but, like, getting outside more, like, just makes you feel healthier. Makes you feel like you're more in shape, even though we work out throughout the winter.
Right.
And then I just feel like I dial in my diet better. I don't know what it's about. I just always feel like this time of
better
year.
Better rhythm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get into this, like, it's not that I'm eating like crap. I just know myself that I could eat better.
Totally.
And I feel better that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel the same way. And it's also just like kind of a random period of time where it's like you aren't really ready to like commit to what you're going to do that summer, and you're not really being that active, but like you're not really, I don't know.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever. It's so hard.
We need one of those, like, you know, those, like, sun lamps that you, like, put at your desk. And it's, like,
even
the sunlight.
Even though we get so much sun. Can you imagine living somewhere where it wasn't sunny all the time? I would die. I would wilt. One time I tried to live in Vermont.
I would wilt.
It was awful. It rained all the time.
Yeah.
Nobody told me it was raining.
No one told you that. I remember you talked about that.
Yeah, it was awful.
Like, I moved there and I was so excited. And then you're like,
nobody told me it was a temperate rainforest.
Oh, the rain was really exciting and like romantic. For like one day. And then you're like,
like 2 weeks later, I was like, it's still raining. It was awful. And everyone was like, aren't the fall colors so beautiful? I'm like, you can't go outside. Look at them. It's raining.
Horrible.
It was awful.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So that's all I got. That's all I got about that. But, we're almost out of time. Do we want to read our review?
Yeah,
our
really cute review. Do you guys have it on there?
I'm pulling it up right now unless you have
it. Go for it.
We love your reviews.
Oh, and don't forget, if you're in the Denver area or if you want to come to the Denver area, on February 22nd, we are having the Girls Gone Wild Girls Day.
Yep.
Where we're going to get together at CrossFit J and we're going to bedazzle all of our gear. So like bring your Ollie shoes or your weightlifting belt or your wrist straps or whatever your accessory
of choice is. You might even get one of those guns that you can like literally.
We're going to get a bedazzle gun. It's going to happen.
Just bedazzle.
And we're going to get like all these like rhinestones and super glue. And we probably won't have glitter per se because glitter gets everywhere. And we don't want there to be just glitter in the gym forever and ever. Amen. But it's going to be fun. And I was thinking that we could do manicures. If we wanted to. And we're probably going to play Mean Girls on the projector. And we also might drink champagne. So you probably should come. That's what I'm trying to say.
So you should probably come.
Yeah. The moral of the story is you need to come. February 22nd. So go to our Facebook page. Facebook.com/girlsgonewad. And RSVP. And yeah, if you are thinking about coming, please make sure that you RSVP so that we know, you know, so we have an idea of how much supplies we need to get, and it's free. We'll provide all the rhinestones you could ever want, but we just want to know how many people are gonna be there
because you want a lot of rhinestones in your life. I know, I'm so excited to meet everybody. I hope you guys all come. Everybody fly in.
Yeah, fly in.
Plane tickets are so cheap right now because no one's going anywhere. The holidays are over. You should fly here. Okay. Do you want to? I'm going to read the comment that's yay, said like Claire, of course. That's the title from Lauren in Illinois. I've listened to all 29 episodes, almost 30, yay, of the Girls Gone Wild podcast, plus follow them on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, which hopefully you guys all follow. Claire and Joy are my role models in the world of CrossFit, whether it is body image, body movements, goal, success, and failure, paleo, JT, or jeans that fit the CrossFit booty, Girls Gone Wild covers everything CrossFit and life surrounding it. Claire and Joy, you have touched more of the CrossFit community than you know. Thanks from Illinois.
Aww. That was so cute. Who is that from?
That's from Lauren.
Lauren, in Illinois. We love you. Yay.
Where in Illinois, Lauren? I
Do you know anything about Illinois?
Yeah, my husband's from Illinois.
Really?
Yeah. He's from Peoria. His family lives in Oklahoma now, but that's where he grew up.
Got it.
Anyway.
That was cute.
That was super nice.
Yay. We love your reviews.
So leave your iTunes comments and share us.
We like them.
People who might like to know about us.
Yeah.
Because we like you and we like hearing from you.
And we still have shirts if you guys want shirts. Yep. I actually just sent out some more yesterday. 3 shirts going on there. We had one in Canada.
Yeah.
We had one in Missouri and one in, I forget where the other one was.
Where did Allie? Let's see. Allie said UK?
Yeah, she didn't order one though.
Oh, okay. Allie, get on it. I know Allie. Allie's one of my friends. Allie, order a tank right now.
Yeah. So we have all the sizes. I think we only have one extra large left. So if you want an extra large, you better get on it. Anyway, now that we have that cleared up.
We have tanks.
Tanks. Buy tanks.
And it's almost 10 o'clock again.
It is. All right. Well, I think that's it for this week. And hopefully in the next couple weeks, I know we keep saying we're going to have guests, and then we just keep having these scheduling conflicts with them. So,
yes.
Which is fine. Life happens. You
get
know,
to hear more of our voices.
Girls Gone Wild, not Oprah. So, we are going to have some good guests coming up this spring and, you know, the next couple weeks. So, get excited for that. And, yeah, we'll talk to you guys next week.
Have a good week, guys.
Bye.